Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a Game 6 loss in overtime for the Predators last night. They fall 4-3 to Carolina. Their season now over. Predators eliminated last night at home at Bridgestone Arena. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, now a big question that the Predators are faced with as they head into the offseason now is what happens next? How much change is needed with this group? And it's interesting because halfway through this season, we thought a lot of change was needed with this Predators group. We were talking about a rebuild, tearing this thing down, reconstructing the roster, and maybe going into a multi-year process here of where younger players are coming in, you're completely rebuilding, and you're trying to figure out how to get your team, you know, through a youth movement here and back to a place where it can be competitive. That's changed to some degree since the Predators turned things around and now find themselves in a competitive series against Carolina coming out of the other side of it. I still believe, though, Joe, that changes are going to need to be made this offseason. Like, I don't think the Predators, it would serve them well to just roll this group back out there next year and maybe add, you know, Tomasino to the mix. Maybe Pitlick is added to the mix as well. But that's really the main changes that are made. And more or less, it's the same group out there next year. I've seen some Predators fans that want to see that happen, and I understand why. But I still think when the larger picture in mind, there has been too much regression out of this core group for me to just leave it alone heading into next year. And there are a couple interesting guys. And we've talked about Johansson and Duchesne. Those are going to be the main two talking points this offseason to see what happens with those two guys. But there are a couple more guys to me that I would consider a part of this core that are very interesting. And those two guys are Ryan Ellis and Victor Arvidsson. Because Victor Arvidsson, especially, a guy that, you know, you ask any Predators fan this time a year and a half ago, Victor Arvidsson may be their favorite player, and he may be, in some opinions, the best player the Predators had out there. He just doesn't look like the same guy. And I get it. He played, I think, in two games in this series before he got hurt again. And, you know, it just seems like this is a constant theme now with Victor Arvidsson, where he's getting hurt on a yearly basis. And when he's been in there, the speed burst just doesn't look like it's the same. I would not be surprised, even given his contract, if the Predators try to move him this offseason. I'm very interested to see what happens with their defensemen because, you know, David Poile said at the deadline, when he made the decision to hold on to Matthias Ekholm and to not sell at the deadline, David Poile said it in the press conference. He's got a plan for the expansion draft, and in his words, he is not going to lose Matthias Ekholm in the expansion draft. Well, what does that mean for everybody else? Are you protecting four defensemen at that point? Is Ryan Ellis still somebody that's a part of this core moving forward here? I think it's fair to characterize Ellis's last few years here as very up and down. He's been very good at times. I think he's been pretty bad at times as well. What do you do with Ryan Ellis as you move forward here? Those two guys, to me, Joe, it's very interesting to see what's going to happen with those two as they move into this offseason this year.
Yeah, I think it's fair to point those two out. I think Arvidsson in particular has kind of moved into, you know, the situation where I could see it making sense for them to try to move him, and I think that they could get something back. I'm sure there's a variety of opinions around the league about him. One, just about his size, but also, I mean, all the things that we see about Victor Arvidsson in the last couple of years, everyone else sees too. So what would he fetch, you know? I don't know. I mean, that's a move you can make. I'm still dubious about the idea that they want to move on from Ellis. But to your point in the expansion draft, I mean, are you going 4-4-1? For anybody who doesn't know, you can protect 7 forwards and 3 defensemen, or you can protect 4 forwards and 4 defensemen.
Yep.
I would expect that. I would expect the latter. But maybe maybe something changes on that front and they have interest in moving on from Ellis. I mean, that would certainly financially be relief. And that's the thing is, you know, they may not be able to do any of these big things and maybe just sitting there going into a season saying, well, maybe Johansson and Duchesne will put it all together this year. That might be what happens, you know, and if that's the case, one thing I think that diminishes some of the excitement and optimism over this team and what it has accomplished. And also it makes it tougher to add anything significant that might, that might make a difference. And we haven't even talked yet about Mikael Granlund, yep, who to me has to be a major priority to try to re-sign him. You also have to pay UC Saros more. Some would argue quite a bit more,
yeah,
you know, than $1.5 million. We were in the, you know, like in the press room last night, Vinga and I were, you know, kind of talking about that. And he thought maybe something like Grubauer's deal, like 3 years, $10 million or something would work there. I'm like, well, that'd be pretty sweet for the Preds if that's the case. I mean, maybe I'm overthinking what Saros did this year, but that's still going to be an increase, you know? So, I think you're right. Those two guys make sense. I have my doubts that Ellis is someone that the Preds would seriously consider moving, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, at some point you gotta think about something else dramatic if you can't get the obvious done here, and which you may not be able to.
Well, that's my thing. Like, at some point you're gonna have to move on from somebody that you probably don't want to move on from. And look, that's tough to do as a general manager, and I understand that. But you can't, to me, like, you can't just continually keep trotting this same core back out here and expecting that the results are going to look dramatically different. I mean, look, they've had a good run together, but they've not been a true competitor for a Stanley Cup in 3 years now. I mean, this has been something. It's not like, you know, you're building towards being right on the edge of being a contender for the Stanley Cup. So, like, at some point, to me, you can't just continue to trot out that same core. Like, they've done pretty much everything else at this point, and we've talked about this many times. They've nibbled around the edges with this core. And look, I think this turnaround's been really impressive, and maybe that changes to some degree the level of changes that you make this offseason if you're the Predators. But I would find it hard to believe that the plan for success moving forward is just, yep, throw that core back out there, and hopefully, you know, Philip Tomasino and Rem Pitlick come in, and that's the difference with this group. I don't think that's a formula for success if that's the way they go this offseason.
Well, I agree. I mean, and you think about different players who, I guess a notch below, who, like Bob said, sort of the middle group.
Yeah.
You know, you could potentially, like, if I'm Seattle, a guy that I'd be interested in at his salary and what he does for you would be like a guy like Colton Sissons.
Yep.
You know, potentially. So you have to think about him. You obviously have, you know, Fabro. I mean, what do you think about Fabro moving forward? There's another guy who, I mean, John Hines to me last night, I thought he made a pretty strong case that, and I know, I mean, very few coaches are going to say, yeah, we've pretty much given up on that guy, you know, but I thought he made a pretty strong case for why they believe in Fabro still. And that doesn't surprise me. I still think he could be a very good player. I mean, the history of David Poyle with forwards is not good enough in terms of drafting, developing, but the history of defensemen tells me, like, he's probably going to end up being pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, but that's another thing to consider when you're talking about who you're protecting and what you're doing around the expansion draft. You know, you have a year of Cousins next year. You know, you have another year of Cunning next year. And I think Cunning's a nice young player.
Yeah.
You know, I think you look at the move to get him and, you know, it looks like it could be good. How about Eric Halla? I mean, he's probably gonna be somewhere else next year, but man, how important was that guy down the stretch for this team?
Yeah, I mean, he's crucial. Absolutely. And he's, I agree, like, Eric Calla, to me, is probably going to be a victim of the numbers game. Like, I just, you can't bring everybody back this summer. I mean, I agree, Grandland is going to have to be a priority for this team. And I don't see a spot for Eric Calla coming back. Not that he doesn't deserve it, because I thought he was awesome coming down the stretch. But to my point earlier, you can't keep everybody. And that's the challenge that David Poile is going to have to face this offseason. There are some really tough decisions that he's going to have to make. And it's time to get your thoughts on those decisions as well. If you're David Poile and the Predators, how much change do you think is required with this group as they head into the offseason? What changes would you make? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to that coming up next. ESPN 94.9 is the home for Nashville Sounds baseball. Tonight, the Sounds are on the road and will face the Columbus Clippers, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians. The pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 5:50, and first pitch is at 6:05. Nashville Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and by 312 Pizza Company. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Talking Nashville Predators, what changes need to be made this offseason? How much different should this Predators team look as they head in to next season? Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe got a texter that says, Robbie, you obviously don't realize most hockey clubs don't make the playoffs during a rebuild. The Preds had to transition to the new coach. This is a pretty good start considering we almost knocked out the Canes. Dump Arvidsson, Harper, Duchesne, Pekka maybe, Fabro, and Sissons. This also coming from the same person yesterday that said, I don't know hockey. So there's that. What?
Sissons? Yeah, dump Sissons. What's that guy ever done for this team? And he gets paid too much, too.
Dump Fabro, 22
Robbie,
years
will
old.
You learn about hockey, please? Yeah, please learn about hockey at some point, Robbie.
Dump hey, your first-round pick at 22 years old. That'll go well.
Oh, my God. Hey, by the way, Elijah, nice job on the Bowie. You're not playing enough Creed, though. I just we'll have throw more. That out there.
Oh, buddy. I got to save it. I can't just empty the clip in the first hour of the show. I mean,
well, they have so many amazing songs. What do you mean?
Well, we do.
I mean, they've got like what, a box set full of amazingness, don't they?
They have a thick catalog that I have just that I've busted open here in the wholesaling studios, powered by Remlon.com.
Elijah, do we think that Rex Rode hates Creed because it's cool to hate Creed, or do we think he actually hates it? Because I think some level of him,
I think it's 50-50.
Enjoyed watching Scott Stapp last night on that band stage. I really do.
The bit's hard not to enjoy.
Wait. It's cool to hate Creed? What do you mean?
Like, yeah.
That's a cool thing?
Oh, yeah. Everybody,
is this like on TikTok or
no,
something?
No, like everybody claims that they hate Creed and hate Nickelback, which obviously is not the case. I mean, they didn't make all this money by accident, so somebody likes them. But I've never met one person who's like, you know what? I kind of like Creed and Nickelback.
No one ever asked to turn on Creed or Nickelback.
Right.
Like it's now like the trendy thing not to like them because it hasn't aged very
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
I'm gonna go back to about the year 2000 for you, okay? And I'm gonna call out a friend of mine I haven't talked to in a long time. His name is Drew Chabot, and one night I had an impassioned, and it was actually another buddy of mine ganged up with me on him, just almost a screaming match because he told us that like this Creed album was like one of the great rock albums of the last few years. It's the worst crap I've ever heard. What are you talking about? No, I am an OG Creed hater. Don't ever think I'm doing this because it's popular. I am an OG CH, okay?
All right. Look, I believe you. I just think there are some people that deep down, they kind of like Creed. They're just afraid to say it.
Or they're a little nostalgic with Creed.
Yeah. Hey, now listen. Now, I've been accused of music snobbery, too. I will rock Hall & Oates all day. Give me some Culture Club Karma Chameleon, okay? I like plenty of music that people would say is not good or is not, you know, or is like, I can't find my words today.
It's easy to hate or hasn't aged well.
Yeah, well.
But that's aged well, though.
Cheesy music. Well, yeah. Okay. Look, I like plenty of stuff that people would not like, okay? Or isn't considered, you know, good or whatever. But like we should all collectively as a country, really as a world, maybe even as a universe, be able to listen to Creed's music and realize it sucks.
I think we're being a little harsh on Scott Stapp last night. I think we're being a little harsh.
Hey, I appreciate Scott for showing up. He sounded good for whatever his age is. I mean, it's been a long time since that music came out. So, I mean, you know, he's up there just like I am. So, hey, good for him. It seemed like the people enjoyed it. I didn't see a whole arena of people pretending to hate Creed. They were making noise for it. Liked it.
Took him higher.
Yeah, took him higher last night in the bowl. There's no question about that. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Ultimate Predator texting in, will the cap go up this offseason or stay stagnant again? Will that help increasing contracts? My guess would be it's not going up, and I don't think it's going up anytime in the next couple of years. I think in the NHL, you're going to be dealing with a flat cap for the next couple of years. Now, you do have the new TV deal with ESPN and TNT, and I think eventually that's going to cause this thing to kick back up and probably kick back up significantly when that time comes. I think certainly for this next season and maybe even the season after that, you might be dealing with a flat cap if you're NHL teams.
Yeah, you can't count on anything good in that way in the near term here. Hey, can I go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com?
Have at it.
Heidi from Dixon says, how is food fighting considered a ban? You know, Heidi, you've used that joke a few times, and yet I still find it charming.
Yes.
The Foo Fighters.
The Foo Fighters food fighting joke.
Yeah. Dave Grohl, tuning his guitar in a tinny warehouse for, a minute is better than the entire Creed catalog. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Creed. I should stop.
He got really triggered last night by Scott Stapp being on that band stage. He really did. Jeez. Well,
why can't he play another? He can't play another set.
Like, I agree with you.
They played great after he played.
Yes, they did. They played very well in the second period after Scott Stapp was on the band stage. Joe, as you look ahead to the offseason here, how much change do you think is required with this group? I mean, you've got the balance of the young guys that have come in, they've played well. The core group that we've talked a lot about here today on the show. I think there's also some room and more room for some more upward mobility for young guys. Like, I think Philip Tomasino is going to be ready next year. I think Rem Pitlick is ready. Like, I think they're ready to play in the NHL. So with all those things in mind, how much change do you think is required for the Predators this offseason to continue to try to build in a direction where they can get back to Stanley Cup contention?
Well, quite a bit. But this is where it gets really difficult because, again, I like how Bob put it earlier, you get this three groups. Like, some of those middle group guys, I think you don't want to change that. You know, where you want to change it is where it's hardest to change it. And so I would say, yes, something big has to happen to shake it up. But if you can't pull it off with Duchene and Johansson, and again, I'm going to tell you, I'm not 100% sold that you want to move on from Johansson at this point. I know a lot of people are. I think the Duchene signing of 2 years ago is the one that looks like the real problem right now. And it looks kind of like the next Turris for David Poile right now. But I'm not totally sold on that Johansson, that you want to move on from him. But something big in there has to change, I think, for this team to be able to play, consistently at the level like a team like Carolina, team like Tampa Bay, the two teams that are going to meet in this next round. So, but a lot of the rest of the lineup, the rest of the forward group, I think you want a lot of that back, don't you? I mean, I think you want as much of that back as possible because those guys were actually tremendous in their roles.
I would agree. I mean, I still think you look at this group and, Matt on Periscope says, build around the herd, Saros, Forsberg, Yossi, and Ekholm. Look, I don't want to take anything away from the herd line because they were very good coming down the stretch. But if you're building around your fourth line, that's a problem. Like, you've got to find ways to get more scoring. Like, the story was for the Predators coming down the stretch, they are still very limited offensively. And it's just tough to win. Like, we saw it in this series. I thought the Predators played extremely well in Game 5 relative to what their game plan was against Carolina. They just don't have enough finish in their lineup. Like that's got to change as they move forward. I know a big part of that are the two guys we've talked about, and that's Johansson and Duchesne. But it's more than that. Like, to me, as good as he was this year, like, Cali Yarncroak is not a top six guy. I'm sorry. He's just not. Like, he, on a winning Stanley Cup competing team, Cali Yarncroak does not need to be in the top six. That's just my thoughts on the matter. And I still think there's some work to do with the secondary scoring guys that have got to be more of a consistent threat. And look, maybe the answer's right there in-house. Like, Tolvanen needs to take another step. Obviously, Philip Tomasino, you're excited about him. And maybe it's just as simple as those two guys coming in and, you know, Tolvanen takes that next step. He's more consistent. And Tomasino's ready to go right from the jump. I don't know. It could be that simple for the Predators. But I still feel like there are some pretty heavy strides they need to take in terms of their scoring punch.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Carolina has three lines of guys who can score.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I mean, I hear what you're saying about not building around the third line. I mean, don't call it that then. But still, like, you feel good about it, right?
Sure.
You feel good about what you're paying them, and you feel good about what they do, and you want. I mean, to me, that's something you're bringing back, and you feel good about. Great. You don't have to mess with that. But yeah, of course. I mean, the bigger issue is at the top. With where the money is and where the production isn't. And I agree with you. It's finishes. It's not there. And I'd say this is not a small sample size at this point. This is a problem. And it's a problem that just will not be easy to solve. There's just no easy answer. The fact that there's an expansion draft at least gives you one more outlet. If not for that, what would we be talking about? I mean, you can't keep buying contracts out.
Yeah.
You know, you're paying an extra $2 million a year for the next several years because the Kyle Turris thing blew up in your face. So at least the expansion draft gives you some possible escape route.
We'll continue the discussion on the Predators when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And look, we've all had that dream. It's a tie game. Bottom of the ninth, the bases are loaded, and on FanDuel Sportsbook, I'm here to tell you, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right, new users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app, so simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, fun bet types like the same game parlay, and always on promotions to let you get more action out of every game day. And when you win on FanDuel, they pay you your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and sign up with promo code ROB to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only for first risk-free bet. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That was Predators head coach John Hines after the game last night discussing the series against Carolina. Joe Rextro now in deep concentration on our feed on Periscope, YouTube, and on Twitch as well. With a little bit of Creed bringing us back in here again. Man, what a day this is today here on the show. We've all gotten, I don't know, 45 minutes of sleep last night. A couple of times we've had Creed already on the program. We're off to a hot start today, Rex Road.
It's an endless happy hour.
It is.
Keep it rocking, Elijah.
Joe! Right.
Oh, you know,
yes! Please, Joe! Please play that again.
Oh, Joe!
Please. Oh, yes. Did you hear this audio from Stillman yesterday, Rex Road?
No, what?
Play it
Joe!
Again.
Oh, Joe! Oh.
That was sent to me without context, so I couldn't tell you what the context was, but all I know was that.
I think I know what that was. So I went to Belmont's basketball. Well, it's not just basketball, but the new athletic facility, which is amazing. They had their grand opening yesterday, and Jared was there too. So. And I'm going to send you the video, actually, Elijah. So you can tweet if you'd like. So, you know, tour of the facility. Again, I'm like it's really impressive, the new facility. But we went into the weight room, and Jared, like, sees all this weight equipment that apparently has never been used. And he asks if he can, like, do some pull-ups. Okay? So a woman who's sort of like guarding the room is like, I'm not going to say anything. So I will say Jared, he ripped off a few pull-ups. It was very impressive.
There you go.
And as I was taking video, but I actually forgot to hit, it was an honest mistake. I forgot to hit the red button. So I got like the last two. So he was very upset about that I didn't, that I didn't get the full impressive, just show of brawn.
That's probably what
athleticism.
That was.
You let him down.
Joe!
I'm never going to get tired hearing that. Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rod in Clarksville texting in. Agree with Robbie on scoring punch, but we have to start with the top line. Our first line may not be a strong or a strong second line on a contender. This may mean a major rebuild, but if we don't, we will stay in the middle of the pack. This coming from Rod in Clarksville. Joe, what do you think of that?
Well, no, I mean, that's the conundrum here is that, sometimes, 2 years ago, what were we all talking about? Yeah, they're probably going to need to move on from Subban and that deal. Also, it's probably a time, finally, for the Matt Duchene experiment to happen. And both things happened. There are obviously off seasons where you don't see something coming, like 3 years before that, when it was Weber for Subban, which was a deal that I think was a big part of them getting the Stanley Cup final next year. And frankly, it's the last major deal Poile has done that was successful. But we know the problem, I think, or at least the general area of the problem. And I agree with that assessment, but how do you fix that? You're not bringing in people. You're not bringing in people who can make a dent in that unless you can move on from someone you may not be able to move on from. And like Tomasino, look, there's excitement about him, and it would be great for the Preds if he's ready next year. It would be great for the Preds if he's a really good player. But are you counting on him being the 35, 40 goal guy here real quickly? I mean, probably I think not. He's probably got a chance of being your top six. But you're putting an awful lot on the Tomasino train if you don't find someone more proven at forward. Again, like you can't even begin to look for those guys until you move others who won't be easy to move. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. And look, I mean, there's still the money part of this too. Not only the money that Johansson and Duchene are making that you've got to figure out what's going to happen there, but also like you've got to sign Forsberg to another deal coming up. You've got to sign Ekholm to another deal coming up. Granlund, what's going to happen with him as well? I mean, there are still some pretty heavy financial decisions, not to mention, UC Saros as well. I mean, there are a lot of decisions financially that you're going to have to make this offseason if you're David Poile. What happens with your backup goaltender? Like, is Pekka coming back for another year? If so, what does that cost the Predators? If it's not going to be Pekka, who's going to be the backup goaltender? Are you comfortable with a Connor Ingram who, I mean, on the ice, I think you like what's there, but off the ice, he's had some issues this year. Or do you go and get, a veteran backup goaltender to back up UC Saros? I mean, there are a lot of pretty heavy financial decisions that the Predators are going to have to make this offseason where I'm not sure how much different the roster can look as they move into next year, even though I think we all agree there's got to be some changes that are made.
Right. So, I mean, look, last night, a lot of the talk, I think there was a little bit maybe too much of the from maybe especially from Ellis, a little bit from Johansson of the, we hung with this team and we're so proud.
Yeah, that stuff's really got to stop. Like, I get it. And it was one thing after the Arizona series, and that was, quite frankly, just brutal to listen to from some of these guys. And look, you may believe that, but we got to stop with this. Hey, we were right there hanging in with teams after you get beat in the playoff series. Like, that's fine, and in this case, like, I buy into that a lot more than I did against Arizona, but nobody wants to hear that after a first round series loss.
No, now again, it's a lot more excusable after this hanging with this team than hanging or outplaying Arizona. I mean, like, no, who cares? You should have beat Arizona. No one thought you were going to beat this team. There was a lot to like about how you played. And look, I mean, I thought Ellis's quote was interesting. I think he basically said we lost the Predator way and kind of found it again, talked about work ethic. You know, players and coaches are going to focus on that. They're going to focus on, you know, we can do more. We can get ourselves better. We can be collectively better. That's, I mean, like if John Hines, you have players who are on the roster and then you work with them. But, you know, that's part of the equation. But, I mean, I don't think this core group is going out and having a great offseason and all of a sudden you're going to transform, you know, this finishing problem. You know, this, like you said, this offensive problem with your top two lines, and really it comes down to if you can't move those guys, you're just going to have the faith that they are going to break out of this. John Hines has pushed a lot of buttons, you know, but how do you have confidence? Again, me more with Duchesne. How do you have confidence that Duchesne is going to be that guy? I Johansson to me is still. It's a harder one to pick through. There's a lot I still like about his game and what he brings to this team.
Well, there's a lot I still like, but it's got to be better in the regular season. I mean, I thought he was fine in this playoff series, but he's just not good enough anymore in the regular season, and that's got to change.
No, I absolutely agree with that. I mean, no question. Now, would you take so-so, and then no, he's going to be a beast every time in the postseason? You would, but it's still like you got to have more because you're going to be in a better position for the postseason if he gives you full years like that. And there's no excuse to not be more consistent at that higher level. Duchesne, though, I just don't know. Yeah. I just don't know if Duchesne right now has got it in him to be even like the 50, 55, 60-point guy that he was consistently. I don't know if that's in his future.
No, I don't know that it is either. And that to me that's very concerning this early in that contract. I think we kind of expected that towards the end of the 7-year contract, given his age when he signed it. But to already be at that point, that is very concerning as you move forward here. I don't think there's any question about that. 102.5 The Game and the Nashville Predators will host a 615-day celebration at Fordyce Center in Bellevue June the 15th. That will benefit Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. This all-day event will feature fun for the whole family while paying tribute to Nashville's annual 615 Day, an occasion that pairs Music City's area code with the date of June 15th. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com. When we come back, we need your bold predictions in the world of sports. It's time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. It could be with the Predators' offseason. What moves get made this offseason? Who stays? Who goes? All that on the table. Also, the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, still well underway, still in heavy force. So everything on the table for Call Your Shot Friday, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. A little bit of a different route today. Nashville SC playing this weekend. That's on the table. Predators eliminated yesterday, but off-season moves also on the table as well for Call Your Shot Friday. You can take it to the Titans, anything you want to take it. It's on the table on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, as we recap last week and our edition of Call Your Shot Friday, I know at least one called shot that you absolutely nailed last week, this time a week ago, looking ahead to Game 3 for the Predators in overtime, and you called not only the Predators to win in overtime, but for Matt Duchesne to score the goal in overtime. So let's start this edition of Call Your Shot Friday by congratulating you. That was a heck of a called shot you had last week.
It's almost creepy. Like, did I use a Ouija board? But yes, that was one of my called shots. Preds win tonight. Of course, that was a week ago. In overtime, Matt Duchesne winning goal. Also, same day, called shot, Grizzlies will shock the Warriors tonight. And get the 8 seed. So I got 2 of 3. Now, I also called the shot that the Canes would win Sunday with a Svechnikov goal in overtime. I got the overtime part right.
Yeah.
So I did not get that. Porth shots last week. Titans will trade for Julio Jones, so we'll see. He's saying Rashawn Evans going the other way.
Okay.
He said Preds will score a power play goal with Tolvanen. That did not happen. He said Steph Curry would have 40 versus Memphis. I actually don't remember if that happened or not. They lost. Did he get to 40? He was close.
He was close. I don't know if he got to 40 or not. He was really close, though.
You had a good one. Islanders will win the series against the Penguins. Boom.
They were trailing at that point. Want to point that out.
Yep. And then you had Grizzlies in at the half, but Curry 15 or more in the fourth for the Dubs to win. Eh. So no dice there. So there we are.
So that was last week's edition of Call Your Shot Friday. Elijah Campbell in today for Ryan Porth, who will be getting married tomorrow. You should have seen the stress level of Ryan Porth last night in our text chain. That was something to behold. Elijah, would you like to begin today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and kick us off. And I want to continue one that I made the last time I filled in. And is when the Lakers were struggling and reeling and slipping down the Western Conference standings, that they're still going to mess around and find their way in the NBA Finals. So far, that's looking so good. They're up 2-1 after a win last night against Phoenix. And I want to go ahead and double down on that and say they also reached the finals. And I'm going to add another one, that the Milwaukee Bucks will finish the sweep of Robbie's beloved Miami Heat.
Ugh.
And they, not the Brooklyn Nets or the Philadelphia 76ers, will be playing in the NBA Finals this year. Said on the money line, I said on the money line last week to snag them at plus 900 when they were available at very, very low odds. They still have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who might be the best player in the NBA still. They have the most defensive versatility of anyone not named the Los Angeles Lakers still playing. Don't sleep on the Bucks. This could be the year they do it.
Joe Rex wrote, it's been a really rough go for my Miami Heat so far in this series. They've been absolutely destroyed by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, they had obviously you have the great game, and Chris Middleton, a guy who doesn't get talked about enough, by the way, for the Bucks. But it kind of looks like the beach is beckoning.
Yeah, it looks like the beach is beckoning.
The fishing poles are beckoning.
That's right. Elijah, do you have any more called shots? Are you good?
No, but I'd also like to remind everybody, too, that at the beginning of baseball season, I said the Padres win the pennant.
That's
update,
true.
They're 31-18, best team in baseball right now.
That is true. So looking good. So far, so good for Elijah Campbell here on Call Your Shot Friday. Joe Rexrode, your called shots of the week.
Well, I think, it's appropriate today to go ahead and throw the Preds offseason called shot out there.
Yep.
So I've got one, and it's just this. I can't come up with shots I feel good about on a lot of things, but I'm gonna throw this one out there. Victor Arvidsson will not be a Nashville Predator next season.
Victor Arvidsson.
And I think that's a trade that fetches something for the Preds. They've got a glut. They still don't have enough finishers. You could say, gee, you want to move out what's been one of your best offensive players, but I think it's trending that way. I think you can still get something for him. And, a guy like Tomasino, for example, stepping in, I just think that he wouldn't have been in this lineup if he was healthy last night, and that tells you something. Also, the Grizzlies tomorrow will take a 2-1 series lead, and they'll do it on the strength in part of Dylan Brooks scoring 20-plus. The defensive stopper role player at home always shoots better.
Yeah.
And he can be a maddening player, but I think he's going to go nuts. And my final one is that tonight – it is tonight, right? I think it's tonight. The Minnesota Wild.
Yes.
Will stun the Golden Knights in game 7. And yes, the winning goal will go again to the guy who had the winning goal in game 6. His name is Ryan Hartman.
Ryan Hartman again with the game winner tonight for the Minnesota Wild. I like that. Call Your Shot Friday here. That is Joe Rexrode's version. I will go very quickly. I also had Victor Arvidsson played his last game with the Predators, and we've already seen it. So I say Arvidsson is moved this offseason. I'm going to say Mikhail Granlund will be re-signed by the Predators this offseason. That's a called shot. He'll be back on the Predators this next season. Not only do the Grizzlies win tonight, I say the Grizzlies take down the Utah Jazz in the series. I think the Grizzlies pull off the upset. They take down Utah in the series in what's going to be just a really rough go of things for the top two seeds in the Western Conference. I feel bad for the Suns, and I feel bad for the Jazz as well. What do you think about that, Elijah? You don't look very confident.
That's bold.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That is bold.
I think the Grizzlies still at least one more. They'll still one more, but I'm not going to bet against the best three-point shooting team in the NBA.
I'm betting against them.
And Robbie is. Robbie's feeling it.
Ja Morant.
That's a shot. He's going to get it done. Right there.
Now, he did just have 47 points, and they lost.
In a loss.
So maybe not the greatest call.
It's a fun 47.
It was a fun 47. I don't think there's any question about that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Josh texting in, my called shot, Tampa Bay beats Carolina in five games. Kucherov will carve up Nedeljkovic with at least five goals in the series. So Josh predicting a quick series for Tampa Bay against Carolina, and Nikita Kucherov in five games will have five goals. I like that. That's a good called shot.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I do think Carolina's going to have to take it up a notch here to win this series. I mean, Tampa Bay just – it's just a machine now that Kucherov is in there. Yeah. And Vasilevsky, I mean, they're the favorite to win it. And it's tough for the Canes that this is the next series for them, because this is a series that would be good enough at the end.
Melissa from Gallatin texting in, my called shot is that the Minnesota Wild beat the Vegas Golden Knights tonight in overtime, and Kevin Fiala gets the game-winning goal. So Melissa calling a shot. The former Pred, Kevin Fiala, with the game winner tonight. I like that. I think that is well within the realms of possibility.
We're calling all kinds of shots with former Pred scoring huge goals for other teams.
Yes, we are. Andrew on the text
line. How about does anybody have Bonino?
Well, maybe so. Maybe that's an option for the Wild tonight as well. Andrew on the text line. This one is a doozy. Philip Forsberg will be traded this offseason. 1 year remaining and can't be paid $8 million a year for missing 75% of the games. Of course, the Predator way might be to re-sign him at $9 million a year for 7 years. But Andrew predicting that Philip Forsberg is traded this offseason. What do you think of that, Rex Road? That's a called shot.
That is a called shot. And listen, I get the thinking there. Like, it doesn't work to just keep saying, okay, here we're extending you, and we extend you.
Yeah.
Forsberg, I think you and I have been aligned that Forsberg has been, you know, I mean, and Yossi has a clause anyway, but I mean, those two guys, you kind of set them aside, right? When you talk about core that you're moving. Hey, if you could get something, it'd be a gamble, because I still like Philip Forsberg a lot, and I think he's a special player. But the injuries, I don't think he did enough in this series. You could make a case for it. It's a good called shot at the very least.
Our buddy Gover on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Vegas wins 5-0 tonight against Minnesota, and the Leafs end up winning the series, but it takes seven games. So Montreal stays alive last night to force a game six. Gover saying this gets to a game seven in Toronto as well, and Vegas hammering the Wild tonight 5-0.
That's probably what'll happen, but you know what? I like I've been so impressed with the Wild. This series has gone way beyond what I thought it would, so I'm sticking with the Wild.
A very good edition of Call Your Shot Friday. We'll continue to take your called shots all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we will get into the Titans. We'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD as well. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.